The following podcast is brought to you by the Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
I love that line. May we realize the Tathagata's true meaning. What the meaning of suchness. It's good that you came tonight. Because Thursday nights are kind of a problem here at the Village Zendo. It's a kind of orphan evening, in a way. There's this many people here this morning, at the early morning sits. It's kind of strange. It's a special evening because Giyu has just returned from Nepal, has moved to Brooklyn, and we're going to expect to see you here every day, but certainly on Thursday nights. Welcome back. It was lovely to have you back. Yeah, good. So, actually at the Zendo, there are people in our community that keep urging me to not have Thursday nights. But we have talks every Thursday night, or a fusatsu, atonement ceremony. But I say no. We gotta keep on. So those who don't know about Thursday nights don't know what they're missing. So I think it's a blessing any time when we get together and can sit. It's much quieter in the morning. There's no formal teaching. No one speaks or anything. So we're able to sit very quietly and calmly. And then we hear the morning bell, and we chant the verse of the Okesa, which is the verse of putting on the robe. And traditionally, since even in India and then in China and then Japan and then America, those of us who took the precepts have a small robe that we put on our heads, and we put on our heads and we chant the verse of the Kesa, and then we put it on for the day. It's like, all right, now I'm ready. I've got the precepts behind me. I've got the teachings. I've got my commitment. I'm ready to go. What we chant is, vast is the robe of liberation, a formless field of benefaction. I wear the Tathagata's teachings, saving all sentient beings. There's that kind of, it feels boundless to me, that verse. It offers a kind of freedom that we can live in that we don't even realize. I don't even realize it. It's liberation is vast. And sometimes we feel so constricted in the choices we've made in our life, but actually we are vastly free. Because vast is the robe of liberation is just offering us to open our minds and open our hearts to this moment, to this living moment, and letting go of our ideas of what we should do or should have done, and instead be fully present with appreciation and gratitude, because that is what creates in us a generous spirit, a spirit that is ready to be of use and to help others. So it's that awareness. And we say the field is formless, the formless field of benefaction. So I am, can be very victim to my fixed ideas about politics, for sure, and many other things. So to let go of it for a few moments, to drop that form and abide in a formlessness is really a powerful ingredient to an awakened life. And allow our certainty of what's right and wrong to just drop away for a few moments, to loosen. It softens us and liberates us, actually. And in liberating us, we begin to liberate others. A formless field of benefaction. I love that word. I'm so thankful for those 2 years of Latin I studied in high school. It still comes to help me at such a time. Bene, good, and faction, doing. A formless field of good doing. Just sounds very satisfying to me. So in the Buddhist tradition, we believe this, that when we recognize that we're not separate from all that is, we can abide in that formlessness, even for a few moments in our zazen, or before we go to bed, or even brushing your teeth, just for a few moments, you will automatically open the generousness of your heart. You will automatically, that benefaction comes. It's not something, I'm now going to be good, I'm going to do good, but it arises out of you. That's so powerful. When we sit, if we can just recognize that formless field of benefaction, which is all around us all the time, it's great. It's just great. So there's a koan that evokes this for me. I mean, it just fits so well with the verse of the Okesa. And it's from the Mumon Khan, the first book of koans that we study here. And it's Uman's case 16. He says, this teacher is sitting out, I imagine he's sitting, I always imagine them sitting outside, of course, probably sitting inside on a cushion, but maybe sitting under a tree. Look, he says, the world is vast and wide. Why do you put on your robe at the sound of the bell? Why do you do that? Look, the world is vast and wide, you know. You could be walking down Houston Street or Broadway right now. Instead, you're putting on your robe at the sound of the bell. Why would you do that? So Unman, or Yunmen, lived in the 9th and 10th century, kind of overlapped 9th and 10th century in China. And he founded one of the five main Zen schools. So he's like big patriarch of Zen. There's a Japanese-American teacher, Kubose, who talked about Uman this way. Unman's school is deep and difficult to understand, since his mode of expression is indirect. While he talks about the south, he's looking at the north. While he talks about the south, he's looking at the north. So he says, Uman says, the world is vast and wide. Why do you put on your robe at the sound of the bell? So the first thing is, really? Is the world vast and wide? Or is it narrow? Constructed of your perceptions only of what there is. It's only when we're able to, you know, what I was talking about earlier, when we're able to sit and really view the interpenetration of everything, are we able to see the world as vast instead of narrow, constricted habits that dictate our lives. When we see the world as vast and wide, you know, we have this those of us here in the morning, the sunrise just comes right in the window there, along with the jackhammer, which runs from 6:30 to about 9. Why? The world is vast and wide. And there's this extraordinary sunrise coming in the window that is just, you know. But also, you know, there's the miracle of your train, a subway, coming on time. If you see it that way. Or the delight of just sharing a laugh with a friend. The world is vast and wide. On my way here, every morning, I see the methadone crew. They gather right outside the building, really. There's a dispensary here on right in this block. And, you know, it makes me so sad to see these guys that come down. It's mainly guys, some women, a few. And they're really loaded. I don't know. They're giving them too much or maybe whatever their physical condition is at this time. They're like nodding out. God, it's so sad to see. It's so sad to see that suffering. Or those photographs we saw this week of the children in Yemen. A Guatemalan girl who died on the border. We also have to bear witness to these suffering souls. The world is vast and wide. And we have to own our connection to the injustice. We have to own that. It's not just the sunrise that I delight in. It's also the jackhammer. It's also the suffering on our borders. So always there's birth and death. Laughter and tears. The vast is the robe of liberation. But when we open our hearts, you know, we dissolve our idea of separation. Not me. I'm not responsible for that. Well, really? When we sit meditation, we allow ourselves to see the world without the lens of a story that we've made up. Without the lens of defensiveness and protection. Without the lens of anger, bias. Vast and wide. When we can be tuned in, we can participate in life. When we're tuned in, we can begin to take action. And, you know, for all of us, it's very different, the kind of action we might take. Look, the world is vast and wide. Why do you put on your robe at the sound of the bell? Why bother to do that? It's really important. People have always suffered. There are marvelous poems from China and before the Christian era of these plains that are covered with bodies that have been people who have been killed in the warfare, you know, 2,500 years ago, 3,000 years ago, huge battles. It's always been suffering. Why? Yeah, I think it's the same question that Dogen asked when he says, when he was a young man, he went to Japan and he asked a teacher, if we already have the nature of Buddhas, why do we bother to practice? Why do we bother to practice? That's where this koan comes from. So Yunmen's talking to a bunch of priests, really, essentially monks. And there are so many wonderful aspects to these koans, because most of the monks were looking for three hots and a cot. They weren't like these dedicated people. They were just trying to get by. It was a wonderful way to live, to actually get food, to get rice in your bowl, place to sleep. So that's why they were always hitting them and yelling at them, saying, wake up, wake up, wake up. But we could ask the same question that Yunmen's asking of ourselves. Why do you check your email at the sound of the bing? Why do you let your dog out when she barks? Why do you hold the hand of a friend in need? Why do you go to the soup kitchen and help? Why are you educating yourself on the social issues in this city? Why are you going to immigration headquarters? As the wonderful talk that Bokashu gave last week about accompanying an immigrant. Why do you do that? Maybe asking why isn't the right question. It's Uman's question. But if we enter more intimately into that question, we enter into this kind of quality of mind that is intuition, really. A quality of mind that just doesn't really explain to ourselves why we're doing something, because we know that this is the compassionate response. It flows out of us. It's not figured out. Master Shiva Yama quotes this old poem in his commentary on this koan. So thick the bamboos grow, yet they do not obstruct the running streams. So lofty the mountain is, yet it does not impede the white cloud flowing. So I understand this, is that our actions don't depend on our expectations of the outcomes. Our actions are actions. Whether it's, we're sitting zazen and what we think that's going to happen when we sit zazen, or trying to find a solution to the poverty in front of our face, whether that means you're offering a donation or you're writing a letter or you're attending a meeting. But you're not sitting at home bemoaning the fact. To offer benefaction is to be benefaction, that good doing. It's crucial. So when we sit, we do usually come to sit. Most people come to practice because of a personal suffering of some kind that we think it will liberate us. But somehow what happens is something tricky after a while. We begin to put our robes on symbolically, even if we don't have a robe, at the sound of the bell. we become aligned with the circumstances of our life. So I hope you can hear what I'm saying and my urging you to really experience your zazen in a way that allows you to offer benefaction in even the smallest ways. People you meet on the street, in the subways. I wear the Tathagata's teaching. The bell is always sounding. Do you hear it? Can you respond to it? What does it take for you to respond? Svaha.